All right, welcome to episode 135. Maddie and Taylor here. Hello, girls.
Hello.
Thanks for having us, ladies.
How nice.
No, what's the right way to? What do you say?
I personally don't care, but
I like ladies because people still think that we're kids. Like, okay, for example,
ladies feels like an old person.
I know.
To me.
I kind of like girls because I am. I'm 22. Like,
yeah, that's
but
true.
I am a woman. I don't know. It just...
Well, for example, our bus driver, we had like a fill-in bus driver to do like a co-drive last night to get us back, and he called us kids, and I was like, oh, so I'm a 23-year-old woman. I'm not a child.
I take it back. I do care. I don't want to be called a kid.
I don't want to be called a kid. He was like, oh, how old are you? I'm like, not kid age, but thanks for making me feel young.
Ladies, girls, women.
But I would imagine he's in his 50s, if I'm just guessing, about the bus driver. He probably has a kid.
That's true.
That's your...
Maybe so.
So I would think if you have kids and they're the same age as someone, you probably see them as the kid.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know your bus drivers, but I'll tell you what's expensive is having have two bus drivers.
Co-drivers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what happens is, I'll explain it to people because we have to take buses out all the time too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you drive over, whatever the law is, the rules
really
are bent.
I don't know the limit.
But let's say it's like 9 hours. Okay. Let's just say it's nine hours. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have to drive over 9 hours, you have to have two bus drivers. Mm-hmm. Or the bus driver has to pull over and sleep for a certain amount of time.
Right.
So, which is a nightmare. Both scenarios are nightmares.
Right. It's just expensive either way.
You have to pay two bus drivers.
And when you're rolling, I mean, we're rolling 12 deep on a 12-bunk bus with a co-driver. So it's...
Yeah. Like, it's not...
It's cramped.
It's always a little weird with the second bus driver, too, because you don't know them. Everybody
and
else
that was
know.
The guy I was talking about. Yeah.
Oh, you kid?
Yeah. So he was the like,
what's up, sport?
I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is weird. Like, we own a company and we're like running this whole thing, and kid just feels really weird to me.
People will still call me kid, though, too, if they're older. If they're like 60,
I get that.
They'll be like, hey, you're just a kid. But it just has to be because they have kids the same
right.
age.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I would never say kids to you two.
Right.
Right.
Because I would say you're more like little sister age than
Well, he thought we were kids. Like, he, because whenever I was like, oh, hi, how are you? He's like, how are you kids doing or something? And I was like, oh, we're good, but I mean, we're not kids. And he's like, really? How old are you? And I told him, I swear he probably thought we were like 17 or something.
Oh.
I'm like, thanks, because I'm getting wrinkly already. And that's a really big compliment.
Shush.
Let me start with this. Let me do this commercial here real quick. Got to pay the bills. Let's see. Let's talk about LifeLock. Sensitive personal data has been exposed in more data breaches for nearly 2 months. An unauthorized party reportedly used stolen usernames and passwords to log into online accounts of certain major department stores' websites. So we're talking about personal data breaches, and criminals can open your accounts and file tax returns and buy property taxes. There are so many threats in today's connected world. It just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing new LifeLock identity theft adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against those threats to your identity and your devices that you can easily see or fix on your own. No one can stop all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats that you might otherwise miss on your own. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BONES for an additional 10% off your first year. The promo code BONES, B-O-N-E-S, for an additional 10% off your first year. LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK. I use it. I have it. It has saved me a bunch of times. And there we are, LifeLock. All right, now back here. Get that out of the way. It's always an awkward time when you have to read the commercial in front of the guests.
I love it because I hear it, so I'm like, oh, it's so cool. It's really happening.
To watch me hold the paper and stare it down. It's funny how there are things that I guess we take for granted. For example, I'm in that studio every morning, and people will come and watch us, and I'll be like, oh, this is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's every day.
Yeah.
The same thing with you guys. You know, you talk about your bus driver. There are parts of the touring life that I don't think people have any idea. Like what? I only know because I had to start touring with the band, and we started playing, and I was like, "Oh wow, this is a real thing." Like sound checks, for example,
right?
Which is when you go up and make sure that all the stuff works, all the guitars, the drums. Like that's a pretty grueling thing. Like a sound check every day.
It's like a pre-show show.
Do you guys go? Yeah. Do you go to your sound check?
If we can,
if we're allowed to. Sometimes. Well, recently it's been a lot of like open sound checks, meaning the venue's open to the public, and so we aren't able to go out yet, but. We prefer to sound check because we like when our stuff sounds good.
What do you mean? So they open it up?
Yeah. So it's open to the public. So the
like
audience.
Like a fair or a festival. You can't really like close it off.
The crowd's just kind of posted up since 10 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to go out because it kind of. You don't want to play your songs at 3 p.m.
And we look crusty. Like we're not all cute and done up. Like that's just like. It's just like the like Wizard of Oz thing where it's like you think something's so cool and then you peel back the curtain and you're like, ugh, wait, no. So we want to keep it a mystery.
I think inner ears are a thing that people that until you do it, you know, when I was mentoring at American Idol, I was having to talk to the kids about things like inner ears.
Was that so much fun? You look like you were having a blast on there.
They edited me good, but I mean,
I feel like that was such a good, like,
you know how it is.
That was a great response.
I mean, they did a great job of editing.
Yeah.
They really did. I just did what I do. I don't think,
I think that's
what
really
you,
great.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
But I was talking to them about things like inner ears. That's like the mentoring thing. That would be like, hey, so here's what's going to happen. You put these, first of all, they put this gel in your ear.
Oh, it's the worst.
Talk about that for a second.
It is so uncomfortable.
I remember being so self-conscious about how much earwax I was going to have. But is that, does no one else think about that? But I was sitting there and I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to say I have so much earwax. And then obviously they're like, it's moderate, but still I was so self-conscious.
I was just okay, so this is so like first world problems. Like this is not anything bad at all, but it's just like nerve-wracking. These like in-ear things, we're basically trying to explain it to everyone that doesn't tour, but like,
which is most people.
Most people. Yeah, right. Yeah. We're very, very lucky individuals that we all get to do it. But so basically it's these little like headphone thingies that go in your ear, but they're molded to your ear.
Yeah.
So they fit perfectly and you can hear everything and, you know, so you can sound great, hear everyone on stage. So you go to the doc, this, I mean, it feels like a doctor.
Yeah.
Like this ear person.
It does feel like a doctor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you have to like move your jaw around and whatnot.
To open up the canal.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's why I had such like anxiety. And it's like if you're getting your ears pierced for the first time or a tattoo for the first time, you don't know what to expect. So you're like, is this going to hurt? It's basically they shoot this like jelly stuff into your ear. So it's like you feel like you're underwater and you just have to sit there for like 10 minutes while it hardens. And it's the weirdest.
It's weird.
It's very hard to explain, but it's very uncomfortable. I was just like, oh, this is not something I want to have to do again.
Even putting the ears in, when you put them in the first, well, they seal your ear, first of all. Where, yeah. Where you're supposed to really not hear much happening around you. But the first time you go on stage and your ears are sealed, it's weird because you're used to hearing the crowd.
Right.
And just hearing it back through a speaker so you can hear the crowd. But when you put the ears in, you really can't hear the crowd.
Oh, I remember the very first time I ever used my in-ears, and it was probably the same show as you. We played some.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, but it was some like CMT football kickoff thing. I don't really know, but it was some live television performance.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it was our first time ever using our in-ears. So imagine that. I'm nervous
also, it's
enough.
A big performance, and then you have something new and foreign.
Exactly. And it's just, it changes your world because like you said, it's sealed. It's, you don't hear anything, you can't hear anything. It's all just basically in your head, and it takes a minute to get used to. So I remember being like, what is going on?
Or it's like you think the crowd is not into it at all because you can't hear, and then you take one out and you're like, wait, everyone's really excited. Yep. Like it's just so we have these little things called, I'm sure y'all have like the crowd mics where you have it pointed to the crowd so you can hear them, and sometimes I hear people say the craziest stuff. I'm like, dude, we have a microphone on you. You can't be saying crazy stuff like that. I can hear you.
My favorite is halfway through a set when they yell, girl in a country song, and we're like,
we have more songs than that.
Obviously, we'll you're going to play it. It's like, yeah, hold on. We're going to play it.
Yeah.
The thing about the crowd mics is weird is it's always a split second delayed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, clapping. And so you really, can't really play onto rhythm with their claps.
I know.
Because those microphones that are able to hear the crowd are a quarter of a second behind.
Yeah.
So it does. But that's one of those things that I tell my audience all the time. If you see someone with a thing hanging out of their ear, it's because they want to hear the crowd.
Right.
So they have one ear out.
Or they're malfunctioned. Messed up. Yeah, which Tay has had issues with hers like recently. The past 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think my like where it connects the cord in my ear, something's messed up. I don't know.
She's so chill. She's like, we're like about to get on stage, intro track's going. And she's like, yeah, I don't have any ears. And I would have been like, oh my God, my ears are working. Like freaking out. And she's just like, hey, I'm just going to do a show without an ear. And, you know, and we're a harmony band. So she needs to hear what's going on. Both of us need to hear each other for this to work. And she's like, oh yeah, I'll just do it without one ear. And I'm like, oh heck no, I would be freaking out.
I was chill before. And then after getting off stage, and because when you only put one ear in and listen to an entire 60 to 75 minute set with one ear turned up, you come off stage and you can't hear anything out of that ear. So I was like, I'm never doing that again.
If you're blaring music like on your phone, like you have your headphones in and you only have one headphone on, like your other ear is like, oh, what is going on? It's just funky.
What is something that you guys wish you were asked about more? because I do a lot of interviews where I get to interview people, but I'm on the other side too, where I actually get to see both sides of it.
Right.
Meaning that's a sometimes great question. I sit and I had to do this book tour, and you know, I would do 30 in a row, and everyone would come with the same easy question that was fed to them. You know,
yeah, like what inspired you to write the book?
Yeah, and I understood it because I've been on that side, so I'm on both sides. But I wonder, as artists, like, what do you wish that people would ask you about more?
That's a good question, and no one ever asks us that.
I do wish, you mean fans or interviewers?
Interview. You wish that you could talk about what more?
Well, I know something that I frequently ask people who I'm, you know, inspired by is what inspired the specific song. Do you remember the moment? Do you remember the emotion? We don't get that specific question often by fans necessarily.
Yeah.
But I always ask that, so I guess that's what I would like to be asked.
You would like to be asked about what specifically inspired
a work song.
Of
art,
a piece of something.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a good one.
We voluntarily say it anyways whenever we're talking about the music, but we hardly ever get asked.
I like the artsy fartsier stuff. You know what I mean? But also something that I do love about you too is you don't really throw softballs in interviews. Like, you will go right to the core or the deeper stuff, because I think
it's our jam, heart to heart.
Oh man, that is that is my favorite thing about interviews. Like, when you can get really deep and vulnerable and talk about the great stuff, the bad stuff, the everything in between. That's my favorite.
I wondered, because you guys kind of went away for a bit. And I've talked to you guys about this for a second, but when Dot, your old record company, goes away.
Yeah.
And so then you don't have a record deal for a bit. And then you go away to also write. Right.
Yes.
That's a thing, right?
You
guys went away. And I didn't see you guys until Dirk's party at his bar. I did a song.
Oh,
and you
guys
were, so that's the first time I'd seen you guys in a long time, was there. But when you go away after that, do you purposely try to stay out of public things? Is it part of the mystique to hide as well?
No, we tried to wiggle our way into anything we could, which is why we started making YouTube videos and stuff like that, and kind of started diving even more into clothing lines and, you know, just trying to stay engaged.
But our fans, we didn't really try to go away. It was just we weren't the cool kids anymore. So it was to just be totally honest, it felt like no one cared what we were saying, because there's a ton of other people that their voice is louder than ours right now, which is totally fine, because there's times for everything. But you know, you don't want to force something. If you're just not the cool kid on the street right now, then you will be you'll get there, but it's just not your street or not your time to be the cool kid.
And contractually, there was 90 days. I don't remember when the 90 days started, but it was 90 days between each record deal, where we knew we were in talks with UMG and we were having meetings and we knew that something was going to start rolling, but we weren't allowed to say anything. So we went to ACMs, two ACMs ago, having all of this knowledge of exciting stuff about to happen, but we couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
So it was torture.
And that's how we got the same publicist, because Green Room actually covered our butts. So, I mean, we're so grateful for them, because we had no label, no publicist, no nothing. At
walking
that time.
Red carpet.
Yeah. And they're like, so what are y'all doing? And we're like, one thing we're not allowed to talk about, and the other thing is our control.
So you were telling the interviewers that? So, okay, let's explain what a publicist does. This is fun because, I mean, this is what we do here, is we kind of talk about things
and
that
the
I think
industry.
We take for granted because we're so in it. But even my friends don't know what a publicist is, because unless you have to have one, you just don't know what a publicist does.
Right, right.
So, Taylor, what's a publicist?
A publicist is somebody who takes care of the media aspect and kind of sets up interviews and sets up press and promotion. So, for example, whenever we release our record, hopefully coming soon, our publicist will set up interviews to kind of talk about the record and set up
late night appearances.
Yeah, late night appearances, just things that we can be doing to promote the record and, the media stuff that you see online.
If you say something bad or something doesn't go right.
I've had to cover me a few times for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. And a couple of times they've had to save me from things that never came out.
I have done that many of times. But
you did what?
No one's had to save you.
But I haven't offended anyone, but I've put my foot in my mouth so many times, but it just kind of slid under, which was good.
Mine was I would say about, it actually happened about 10 years ago, but the story came out last year. So about maybe not 10, maybe 7 years ago, mm-hmm. whenever Twitter was starting to be a thing, I go, oh, you can buy Twitter followers? And so I bought 5,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And so I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Go by, and all of a sudden the New York Times is calling my phone. And I'm going, why are they calling? They did this humongous expose on people who bought Twitter followers. I didn't remember doing it, first of all.
And it was kind of a joke. Like, it wasn't like
Not only was it a joke. 5,000,
that's like.
No, I bought all my friends' Twitter. I would Twitter follower bomb them, meaning I would buy them and they'd wake up and go, why do I have 5,000 more? I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
See, yeah. And then everyone took it way too serious.
People started to get suspended from their jobs. Like, they found all these high profile people that have bought 100,000 Twitter followers. And I'm going, on the same story with people who bought.
Oh, no. And it's a joke.
And even then, who cares?
Yeah, seriously, right? Though.
So, yeah. So, but the same group were like, okay, we're going to handle. So they handled that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of walking me through it. Like, because I just want to talk about it. I wanted to go on the radio and be like, oh, yeah, I did this 7 years ago. We went back and found the receipt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bought 5,000 Twitter followers. I bought like 7 of my friends' Twitter followers. But they were like, don't do it. And they kind of guided me through it. And then the story, for the most part, kept me out of it because I wouldn't talk to them about it.
Okay. Right.
But
yeah.
That's not how I was going to handle it. But I had to listen to the experts.
Totally. Lean on people that know the best.
They always know. Yeah.
I know. I mean, this isn't like anything bad, but actually it's really great. But I was talking to Kirsten, our publicist, just for people that don't know that we have the same one because we're saying names. People are like, who was that? But anyway, so I was telling her before I got engaged in May, I was like, hey, me and, you know, at my boyfriend, you know, at the time, it's the same boyfriend, but you know what I mean. So wait, hang on. So how do I explain this? So I was asking her because I kind of had a feeling that he may propose this year, not as soon as he did, but like this year, because we were talking about it. And I was like, you know, what should we do if that happens? And she was like, okay, well, this is what we'll do. And she's like, when we get there, we'll get there. Well, after that conversation, he proposed like a week later. And I was like, okay, well, we're engaged. So that plan has to like, we got to go now. So she was like, oh, okay. Didn't know it was this soon, but we'll go. Like, it's all good.
Yeah. So they kind of guide those press releases and stuff. So, a publicist. Yeah.
What's the thought then? And I think both of you guys are probably in different stages. Talk about this. Maddie, we'll talk to you. So you get engaged.
Yes.
And so how quickly do you post the picture? Because you're a public person too, so there's kind of some strategy to this.
Yeah. Question.
So what Jonah and I did was we were going on vacation for our 7-year anniversary in May, at the end of May. So he proposed the night before we were leaving. And we both agreed. We were like, you know what? We want to go on our vacation and like not be blown up. Like, I mean, it's so exciting, but we just called our close friends. I obviously FaceTimed Tay like right after it happened, but like our families, and told that they already knew that it was going to happen. So it was really just me telling them.
Yeah.
But so we kept it secret for like a whole week, maybe a week and a half actually, because mm-hmm. we wanted to go on vacation and not be on our phones and be present. And then after vacation, we flew to Houston, where I'm from, and my sister was graduating high school. So it was like we had a graduation thing, and then we had an engagement party with our family.
And then you got to do a photo shoot.
Yes. So we
take
like
pictures of the ring.
Yeah. So his cousin is a photographer, and basically we were like, hey, if you'll get some pictures for us, we'll just, you know, do that and then just do a big announcement. But it was kind of fun keeping it secret for a little while. Not that it's anything to be secret, but it was just nice to like have that.
Yeah.
Like moment just for us.
It's
for
precious.
A second.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah. How long did you have to keep that under wraps? From the minute it happened till you put it on Instagram. How long was that?
A week and a half, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. A little over a week.
Yeah. Something like that.
Because I was ready to post a picture.
I know. So
I was like, can we get this rolling? Because I have my picture and my cash in.
Okay. Tay, so you're not engaged.
No.
But you do post pictures of your boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
So that's a thing, too, when you decide to finally post a picture of your significant other.
It is a thing.
That's something that I feel like a lot of artists kind of have to, well, think about, like, pre-posting. I don't know if you're the same way, but for me, being in a semi-public relationship years ago, I know the consequences and the negatives of what it's like whenever it's no longer a relationship, and then it's private, and people think that they know more than they do, and that's fine, but then you kind of want to take it all back, but you can't because it's out there. So I feel like it's a bit of a risk, but like with our music, it's a risk whenever we share our heart in our song. So it's
but
kind
you
of the
took
same
a
thing.
Minute, like
oh yeah,
you she
I had
took
many
a minute.
Many discussions with Maddie. I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll wait like a year after we've been dating and then
I'm
post
like, girl, no, y'all are like they have such a great relationship, yeah. and a great bond,
and I'm happy, and my fans deserve to know that I'm happy, and they deserve to know where my heart's at. So
do you say his name,
Josh?
I mean, I know Josh.
Yes, mm-hmm. Joshua.
Okay.
Joshua Peter.
So you do say his name?
Yes.
Okay. So, but you waited how long until you put that up from when you started dating?
Well, we did the dance, the friends dance, friends don't, haha, plug, plug.
Oh, wait, you two, you were literally friends? You and Josh were friends for a long time?
Well, not a long time. So we met 4 years ago on radio tour and just knew of each other, but we had never written together until October of last year, or this year. This year? Last year.
Wait,
last
it's year. Not 2017. October this year.
2017.
Yeah.
So it's 2017. We wrote for the first time, and he and I had both just gotten out of relationships. So we were just like, we're not going to do this. We're hanging out in the same friend group, but like, let's each individually take our time to kind of do some soul searching. And so then we kind of went back and forth, but we liked each other, but wasn't going to do anything about it. And so we went on our first date in December. And then still kind of did the dance. And then finally officially called each other, put a label on it in March.
But then when do you put the picture up, though?
I didn't put it up till right before ACMs because I knew that.
Which is April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right before ACMs mm-hmm. in April. So it was like the second week of April. And I knew that we were about to get on a plane to Vegas with the whole town mm-hmm. of Nashville. People were going to see. And
you,
I didn't.
You wanted to beat it.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Before people spread.
It's such a weird thing because and I ask these questions because I've dealt with the same. Not dealt with. I've been lucky enough to have great people that are public as well.
Like, yeah.
So I've been in two public relationships, mm-hmm. and you learn that they have lives too, and people what they see what people are saying.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And I have grown. My skin has grown stronger through the years from just mm-hmm. from having people tell me I suck and awesome and all the things, but now they're getting into this world and they're being subjected to it kind of just by association.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they go to their page and they find them, they can write. So, you know, I have my first one and I was like, ooh, I'll learn from that. Then I, you know, dated Lindsay and mm-hmm. then, but it's weird because then people want to know, since they see all the happy stuff, they're like, oh, well, now we should know all the really bad stuff. And I don't know that they're wrong. Yeah. I'm going to say this. I don't know that people are wrong.
You're right.
It's a weird place to be because you're mm-hmm. like, oh, it sucks for them.
I think y'all handled it, or you and Lindsay, because we were good friends with her too. Like, we love her. But I think that y'all handled it in like a super respectful way. Like, there was never.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least to my knowledge, there wasn't like any animosity.
There still isn't. Our thing, though, is we only had to split up because.
That's stupid.
Well, the other companies were penalizing her.
Yeah.
And so that was really the gist of
it. Which is absolutely disgusting for the record.
Just wouldn't have happened to a dude. Because I know dude artists that dated female radio and it didn't happen.
It's so funky.
So, yeah, it sucks.
I don't get that. But, well, even the dating thing, like, people get so mad that, like, if people find out that we're in
unavailable.
It's like, you have to seem available and sexy.
Oh, is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Where you have to act. Really?
Well, I don't, but
well, I mean,
people
have a big old rock on your finger.
I know.
I will say there was an observation made by our merch girl that was out on the road with us this past weekend, mm-hmm. and she was watching the audience while Maddie was introducing Trying on Rings, which is a song about her and Jonah's love story.
It's on the new record.
That we haven't heard yet.
Yes.
So you're playing. I want to come back
we're
to that.
We're playing it. Go ahead. We're giving the sneak peek. So Maddie was introducing the song, and the moment she said, I'm engaged to my high school sweetheart, Sarah, our merch girl, was watching a group of guys, and they just apparently like threw their hands in the air and was pissed. I don't know.
Hemming and hawing. And I'm like, why? Because you thought
you had a chance? I don't know.
Well, not even that. It's just like, I'm not your property.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Me. Like, you bought a ticket to the show, and we're going to entertain you, and we're going to have a great time, but don't make it weird.
You can like our music without wanting to date us.
Like, I love Harry Styles so much. And if he ever got engaged or whatever, I would be like, that's great. I still love you a lot. And I think you are so handsome and so talented. But we're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
He's so awesome. I saw him at the Ryman. I was like, oh.
Oh, did you go?
Yeah, Jonah came with me too, and I just looked at him. I was like, was he the only dude in there? Pass. He was one of the only guys in there. Actually, Gator Harrison was there.
With his daughter?
Yes, with his daughter sitting right behind us. And he was like, oh, thank God there's another dude here.
It is a bit unfair to be a female in music. Mm-hmm. Not just country music, and all music. I mean, look at the dudes. And they're not going to care if I say this, but I'm friends with John Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He makes his shirts ironed. He puts his hat on. He goes out and he plays his show.
Right.
You guys mentioned it. You got to get all, aside from the music part of it, which is even more so, there are just so many more steps have to go through as a female artist. And then on top of that, you don't even get the same, I'll say, fair look that the male artists get.
Yeah.
Because I'm never the guy that thinks there should be 50-50 of anything ever. I think everything should get an equal look.
Yeah.
As long as everyone's getting an equal look, it could be 70-30, female to male to female. I don't care.
Amen.
Yeah. As long as people get the equal look. And I think people go, oh, Bobby's a 50-50 guy. Not at all. No. I think let's just look at things based on merit.
Yeah.
More so than, because I was talking to a female artist friend of mine, and I know you guys are going to relate to this. And she goes, oh, I can't. This label already has a female. And the fact that you have to go, oh, well, this label already has a female, so they can have another one that's somewhat similar. All the dudes are the same.
Yeah.
Why can't there be two females that have a kind of a like sound?
We had to consider that when we moved. They were trying to put us, you know, and this is not to discredit our record label because we love them, but in reality, you have to think about it. Yeah, and it's so weird that there's only so many spots for females, but Tay and I always say, like, we don't want to play softball. Like, don't pity us because we're women. Like, we want to play baseball with the boys, and best song wins and best artist wins. Like, absolutely. Don't care if you're a chick or a dude, whatever it is. Like, the most talent, and if it's not us, that's fair. But if there's not a fair look at everyone, that's where it gets a little wonky. But I'm like, if everyone gets a fair shot and we're not, you know, the winning ticket or whatever, that's fine. But as long as it's looked at.
You get the chance to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, totally.
Tell me about this song. So you guys kind of come on and you do Girl in a Country Song. Oh, we have some clips. Let me play a little bit of Girl in a Country Song. Being a girl in a country song. You guys still like the song?
Oh, yeah.
I do. I was trying to think about how many times we've played it. Like, really? It's only been 4 years. I mean, that's still a long time, but like, I was like, I wonder how many times. Like,
I would be curious to know the number.
Probably in the thousands. With Radio Tour doing like 3 shows a day for a year and a half, we gotta be in the 1,000 bracket somehow.
Easily 1,000.
Yeah.
I would think easily 1,000. But this song, so it was kind of a rocket ship for you guys, at least from my side of it. It was like, and I kind of just started too. You know, I just moved from the pop hip hop world, and I come over and I'm, you know, the guy that's, and everybody hates me because I'm so different, and they're like, ah, and I'm like, oh good, these girls are different too. And you guys come in, and first of all, you're really good. But there's a novelty to this song, too, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it was just like, the video was like, splash, like, here you are.
And I watched that video recently, like, for the first time in years, and I was like,
I haven't watched it.
We were some ballsy 18-year-old girls. Like, whoa. I guess I did not realize how big of a deal this song was until, like, going through what we've been through the past couple years, where I was like, you know what? Like, this is not going to happen, but if God forbid everything like just like fell apart or whatever, because I mean, it has for us, you know, last year, but if all of that happened over again, at least like we said something, like we said something that was important and needed to be said. And we would love to keep doing that, obviously. But just watching that back, I was like, gosh, like we were fearless. How did that happen?
So this song comes out though, in the sense it's your first song.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that's normal? Like, was that normal? Was it like, this is how it's done. We have a song or a bit where you're like, whoa, this is, it's kind of hard to compare it to something if you've never had something else.
That was the issue. If I can say issue, it really wasn't an issue because it was a blessing and it got us to where we are now. But if there's anything, the con to that was just being so green and almost like, I mean, we were a baby artist. We, like you said, we had nothing to compare it to. And so our whole team, the entire time Girl was rising up the charts and doing all of these milestones, it was like, they said, this isn't normal. You're going to have to work much, much harder on your next single. And they were trying to warn us, but we still didn't have that experience in our back pocket to kind of draw from. So for us, in a way, at the time, it was normal, which is crazy to think back and look at. Like, I wish I would have had more experience so I could cherish those moments more.
Yeah, and not just like stop and smell the roses first. Like, even though it sounds so cliche, like, I don't remember a lot of that because it was just like, on to the next thing. Okay, you did the Today Show as your first full band show.
Yes.
Great. Okay, let's go do it again at Fountain. Like, it was just nuts. Right. And I'm like, I don't know how we did all that, but I'm kind of glad that we were so, like, green and, like, just inexperienced. Yeah, we were fearless. Because we would do anything.
Right.
Like, now we know better, like, don't play 3 shows in one day. You're going to wear yourself out and it's going to mess you up. Like, don't do that. Like, you know, just stuff like that. Or don't fly from Orlando to New York back to Orlando in one day and do 3 shows. That's not a good idea. Just say no. Sometimes you have to say no to things. Yep. But I'm glad that it happened then. And it kind of gives us, I don't know, it gives us perspective on, like, we have done this before. It's not going to be as easy this next go round, but
I may have did it a little backwards.
But I know we did. Sometimes I wish it was flipped, but it's okay.
So that song, did it hit one? Did it go number one? Okay.
Yeah.
So it goes to number one. And what's the next single after that?
Fly.
Okay. So Fly comes out and doesn't go number one.
It was a number top 10. Seven, yeah. But it impacted really well, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. We knew the hardness of what was to come with that song too.
And it was a ballad and people were saying, don't put out a ballad. There are all these rules. Mm-hmm. But so this song comes out. I loved the song, by the way. I'm only asking this backward, but it doesn't go number one. So you've had a number one.
Right.
Then you have one that doesn't go number one. What do you think after that?
I was really happy because people were, the way I measured it personally was how people were singing back when we were on stage.
Yeah.
And they were singing Fly and still do just as loud as Girl. So to me, that was a number one song. Like, maybe not on the charts, but for our fans and for my spirit, I was like, we landed another one.
Yep.
This is a message song too. Message songs resonate.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and ballads, you can actually listen to the words.
Right.
Now, I try to walk that line of, I still try to be a consumer as much as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And most people hear melody. That's all they hear in a song before they, and again, I have to remember this because I, you know, I write comedy and I write dumb songs and stuff. And I go, oh, the lyrics, they're very important. But most people hear the melody first. And I don't know exactly what you're saying. I'm deep on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but slower songs, people can actually hear the words and get the message to it, which is kind of a weird thing. And that's also a strong message song.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so the Fly comes out. You're like, okay, cool. It didn't go number one, but we still loved it because people loved it.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next song.
Next song was
Shut Up and Fish.
Shut Up and Fish. Yeah.
By the way, I know all the answers to this. I'm just kind of walking you guys in.
Totally.
I have all the clips already.
I'm trying to think of the purpose of the order of singles. I know that the reason we put out Fly after Girl was because of, you know, just the comments after releasing Girl. These girls are
reverse novelty.
Yeah, exactly. They're one hit wonder. This is all they can do. This is all they can say. They'll be nothing but this. And so we wanted to kind of prove our place in the industry and say, hey, no, like, we can be deep too as 19-year-old girls. We have depth to us. So that's why we released Fly, and that's why we were fine with it going top 10, because it still made an impact and we were able to show a different side of us.
Cred.
Right.
And so with Fish,
I feel like it kind of,
we kind of tried to go back to Girl in a way, if that makes sense.
Our team was still very new at Dot.
Yeah.
And so a newer team, only been together a couple years. And basically everyone was like, hey, we already did this and this is close to this, so let's do it again. And the fourth single, which we pulled like super fast, Sierra, that was kind of the same situation.
Also quirky and funny.
And like, it was like the one trick pony thing. And we were like, there's more on this record. But I mean, Sierra, I still love that song, but I'm personally glad that that didn't work because it's about my actual high school bully. And I did not want to out her like that. But
that's kind of a weird thing, huh?
I had to text her and be like, look, haven't heard from me in 3 years. We're not on great terms, but I just want to let you know the song. She knew about the song. Cause like, it accidentally got leaked 2 weeks before I graduated. Because I sent it to a girl.
Was her name Sierra? Was it really her name?
We spell it differently. But basically, She was just the girl that every guy wanted, which is totally reasonable because she's beautiful. But just, like, I mean, if she could make anyone feel smaller or just less than, she took that opportunity. And because she could. She's the hottest chick in school, and every guy wants her. And so the girl that actually transferred high schools because of her, I sent it to her. And she was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I finally stood up to her and all this stuff. And then I was like, well, don't send this to anyone. I'm about to move to Nashville, and you can send it to whoever you want then. But first, let me get out of town. And that didn't happen. So the whole school heard it, and she was like, you know, just Twitter ranting, like, Maddie's obsessed with me, that effing B, blah, 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 just all this stuff. So I was like, you are not going to win again. So I pulled up in my truck at school, and I went into my parking place, and I turned the song up all the way up, our yeah, little demo, did. And I just sat there, and her little friend group was standing right there, and I was just looking at them like, you're not going to win. I wrote this song because you're mean to a lot
that's
of people.
That's what we call Lil Texas.
Yeah. Lil Texas is this very feisty, crazy, not crazy, but like,
you're just, yeah, you're feisty.
I will fight back. Like, I'm not a doormat.
Boy, but there's something to put in her name on there, though, huh?
Yeah, like, I needed, perfectly. I came home crying so many times through junior high and high school because of her. And so, I don't know, they just felt like, I felt empowered by, like, writing this song. And like,
hey, Tara.
Or, yeah.
Just, it worked perfect, though, because she was in pageants. So the Tierra line, like all
well,
of that.
Well, and her just best friend in school was named Tierra. Literally, her name's
so
Tierra.
Let me share. Let me share a story.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I wrote my first book, I had a story about an artist that I had a really miserable relationship with. It was just not, it was just not good.
Okay. A country artist? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was really bad. It wasn't good. And I wrote it, and I was like, put it in. Screw it. And put it out. Mm-hmm. So my manager, mm-hmm. Corin, comes up to me and goes, hey, you should take this out of the book. And I said, why? He said, because you're really not going to like the fact that in 5 years you might actually be friends with this person.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you don't want their – you kind of just don't want their name. You don't want to put their name. He said, write it as a, like, you know, somebody generic.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I took it out of the book. And then we later become really good friends. And it's Kip.
And oh, my
so
God.
That's so funny.
And the best thing here – because it was just a story about us getting into a fight once. And yeah. Kip and I went to figured it all out.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually really good now. And I'm so glad I didn't. I just wonder, like with you, did you ever think maybe I should just name it something else and not her specifically?
I felt like there was a lot of people that needed that song. And the minute that we started having fans and they started connecting with that song and telling me, I have a Sierra, I have someone that, you know, and I feel so much power with this song. And there are so many people that share their like bullying stories. And since the song's more like upbeat and fun, yeah, it kind of shines a lighter light on a really bad situation. So I felt like we did the right thing by making it so personal. Cause I feel like sometimes when you do the softball thing and you do the generic, mm-hmm, it may not connect as deep as the authentic thing. So I was willing to take the hit, and she, when I messaged her and told her, she was like, yeah, no
was
hard chill feelings, like,
oh,
hope everything's
was
good. Yeah. So, I mean, know. But you got to think, if someone wrote a song about how awful you were, you'd probably clean up your act, or at least I would. I would be like, I have got
worse
to check my soul. Yeah. I'd be like,
I'd double down. So that song, it gets pulled.
Don't even know where that charted.
Like, maybe, yeah.
But is that, did the record label go down before the song was pulled? Like, what was the timing there?
It was like on the DL, funky stuff was happening, I think.
Yeah.
After the song got pulled.
Yeah, because it was the very end of 2016 where I think it all started to, the cookie started to crumble, but we had no idea until February of 2017.
So does that conversation go when they pull you in and they say, hey, Maddie Tay, let's sit down for a second. Do they call you in at the same time?
Thankfully, our manager did some little investigating, and she was very close with the head of the label over there. So they were always in contact, and he would be straight up with her. And so I remember sitting down at Pinewood Social, actually, at the bar, and we were just having breakfast during CRS, and she just kind of said, hey, I think something is about to happen. We don't know what, but just know this. Whatever happens, I promise. Like, I'll take care of you. Yeah. So
So then they say, okay, the label's folding.
Yeah.
You don't have a record deal.
Yeah.
What immediately happens in you guys' mind?
I knew that it wasn't, like, over because Tay and I were in it to win it. Like, this is not splitting no matter what BS goes down.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? Like, I don't know. It was kind of fuzzy, honestly. I tried to, like, numb it because it felt really bad after going from, like, the top of the world. And then it's like, so what are y'all doing? How does it feel to not have a, like, label home? It's like, it feels terrible. And you feel like you have nothing to show forth. And it's felt like that for the past year and a half, honestly. It's like, because this industry, you're always trying to prove yourself. You're always trying to, like, not prove yourself, but, like, you're always wanting to, like,
it's always on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Yeah. And we don't have a next thing yet. Obviously, yeah, we have at the music time. Coming. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then we were in that, like, weird holding period. And that was where, like, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I had a really bad issue with tying my self-worth into what I did and not who I was.
Absolutely. I think we all do if we really work hard at what we...
If yes. you give it everything,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If it's your priority, it's hard for it not to be where you put your worth.
Yes. Right.
And I've struggled, and I still struggle with that.
Oh, every Same. Single day. It's yeah. a. I mean, even now, like, we have a song out and things are a lot better, but we still struggle. Like, it's a normal thing, but those, like, maybe 4 months that felt like 5 years of this, like, in-between phase was where I just slowly started unraveling that whole web of, like, okay, I am not what I do. I am who I am. So I'm going to make sure who I am is like, what do I want people to see? What do I want to give out to yeah. the world?
In an odd way, aren't you a bit grateful for that experience?
Oh, Absolutely. My gosh, 100 times.
And you would never walk yourself into it because you would never go, you know what? I really want to find out who I am. So let's let things suck for a second.
Oh, God, yeah. No.
But I got fined $1 million by the FCC like 3 years ago. And for me, that was, I thought I was done. And
that was like your...
And I was like, you know what? I don't, because there's nothing else to find because you kind of suck. Cause I kind of, and I was talking about myself. Like, you kind of suck. So I'm like, oh, man. Let me try to find the reasons I'm still good. And so I'm trying to find like... And I'm glad because I was getting a little too obnoxious about that time. It really reset me into, hey...
Oh, yes.
You got a little caught up. That's me talking mm-hmm. to myself. You got a little caught up in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. You just got to find $1 million. And if you get through this, you're going to appreciate it so much more. And you're really going to work to help others that are going through similar struggles. So that happened with me. And it sounds like probably it happened to you guys too. Because when you hit that down, you go, oh, and you appreciate it so much more as it's kind of rehappening again.
Oh, yeah.
You need those moments to check yourself. I mean, yeah.
But like they still happen. I mean, I melted down on Tay, 3 days ago on the road? Where I just had to let it out. Like sometimes it's just... That
a good cry fixes
mind
everything.
Game of just like, I mean, and I'm sure you felt this, like if a crowd doesn't receive you well or doesn't like cheer you on, like how do you not get affected by that? But you're putting everything that you have into a crowd and maybe they're just not feeling it or maybe they just don't show it and they're loving it and they just don't show it. So how do you not feel like the worst entertainer? You know what I mean? Like just... That whole mind game that comes with the job.
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up, and I just talked about Kip, but that's the thing that Kip and I have talked about a few times, like off microphones. Like it's that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do stand-up comedy, and I watch the people, but I can't watch their faces anymore. I have to watch their heads.
Yes.
Because I can't assign how I react to something funny to how they're reacting to me because we all react differently.
Right.
So someone important. May be thinking it's really funny, and they may not be a laugh out louder.
And they're just sitting
And they're sitting with their arms. And that's the same fine, thing that Kip, he was like, man, I would get so mad when people would not look up or they'd be on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, hey, that just might be how they're receptive to your, but it's a hard thing.
Trying not to take it personal is a battle. But yeah, for sure. I feel like going back to what you said is being thankful about going through the trial is the people that we are now, which we're every day we're figuring out who we are and what our purpose is and all of that and becoming the best version of ourselves. But 2 years ago, a year ago, the people that we were is dramatically different. And we loved who we were then, but we love ourselves even more now. And the record that we created would not have been possible without the emotions that we felt during and that really crappy time.
Our friendship is a different level too. Like
we are like sisters.
It's like beyond any of that. Like, mm-hmm. there's just like when you go through the trenches with someone and there's not a doubt, like we're in our own marriage, basically. Like right. we are like, there is no backing out. Like we are in it to win it. We are in this together. We support each other.
Yep.
If one of us is having an off day, the other one makes up for it. And that's why I'm like, oh, being a solo artist. I don't know how you go out there and freaking do that yeah. by yourself.
Gotta eat. Here's the thing.
Gotta eat
food.
The
love it.
You really, I believe you really can't trust someone until you have to trust someone.
Yes.
And they
yes.
come through. I have wow. the same thing with my co-host.
You should put that in a book. Is that already in one of your books?
Who knows? Who knows what I wrote?
That's a good, that's a really good, like, classic quote.
Because you really don't know until it has to happen. And then yes. once it happens, you have that. And you guys have experienced that. My co-host and I have experienced that. Amy and I, we've been together for 14 years or so. And so, mm-hmm. but we've had, you know, her mom died. My mom died. Her kids from the orphanage. We've had to have yeah. each other back so many times in situations that weren't good.
Right.
But then you realize and you have that trust that, hey, oh, if they're not good again, we may fight. We may have all – but, like, we're in it.
Yes.
And you really don't know that until you have to know that. And sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes you're with someone, you go, oh, well, this is not going to work. Like, there's put pressure on it so it breaks.
Yeah.
But if it's stronger through pressure, then you yes. realize you can actually go a little bit deeper.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
With that.
True yeah. character shines there's, in the rough places.
Yeah. yeah. Everyone asks, like, so, like, did y'all think about breaking up? And we were like, we didn't – that was not even one thing. Like, we thought maybe we won't get to be artists again, but we'll still be songwriters. Or, you know, maybe we're going to have to, like, go get a job at Walmart to pay the bill. Like, I mean, it would never get like that. But just because we started the whole thing as songwriters, and so if anything. But we want it so bad, and we will – and we work – so hard that like that's going to be our thing. This is going to happen. It's just going to be hard, which is fine. I do not mind the uphill climb this time, because it's like, there's a gratefulness that will exude from us that will hopefully inspire other people.
Makes a heck of a story.
Yeah.
Like, are you
we just, got a damn good story, girl. Story.
Did you guys make enough money with the first song to be okay for a bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Maddie and I are very, very careful with our money.
Are you?
Yes. Yeah. We both have paid off cars. Very conservative homes. Like, we just, but I don't know.
You gotta watch that Gucci stuff. Don't be buying all that Gucci
I know,
stuff.
I gotta stop it.
I am like a principled person. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're like making millions of dollars, like, treat yourself.
Heck
but
yeah.
My treat myself is like getting a pedicure once a month or something, you know? But
yeah.
I don't know. My parents always give me so much grief, because they're like we grew up like, you know, middle class. Like, it wasn't like we were poor, but I pretend like I'm poor. Like, I just save my money and make sure, like, if anything ever happened, I had it in savings.
Yeah. I don't necessarily like to live like the end of the world, because I like to leave room for God to perform his miracles. But it's like a middle ground. Like, I have enough to live. And I'm not dying. I'm not crazy poor, and I'm not crazy rich. I'm somewhere in the middle, and it's good. It works for us.
Where's like the, you know, that Jody Messina song, the I'm above the below and below the upper. I'm stuck in the middle where money gets tight, but I guess I'm doing all right. I love that song. That line is so cool. So maybe that's where we're stuck in the middle where money gets tight. No, I'm just kidding.
Have you guys had any other cuts from? Have you given your song to other people? Have you had any other cuts?
Yeah, Jana Kramer.
She cut a song called Boomerang that we wrote. And we got to see her perform at one time, and that was pretty
cool,
awesome.
Huh?
Oh, it was awesome.
Like, it's a whole different kind of cool. It's a cool, because you do what you do, but when someone else takes your song, regardless, like, if someone else thinks it's good enough, maybe someone who gave it to her.
Yeah.
But if someone thinks it's good enough and they cut it and they spend the money and then they sing it, like, you created that, and it's like
you're. No,
it's like a nephew.
Yeah.
Instead of a kid, it's like a nephew.
Yeah. Yes. Where you get to like, oh my gosh, this is great. And you just get to like pass it on.
Yeah. And then you leave. You're like, bye.
Yeah. You're like, bye. Have
See you
fun.
Next time.
It really is. It's even more validation of being a good songwriter, because
if someone else wants it.
Yeah. Because obviously we can get on stage and sing the songs that we wrote, but if someone else wants to get on stage and sing the song that we wrote, that's pretty cool.
So let's go to now. So do you shop record labels? Do you talk to a few of them?
Okay.
How does that did you beg for one? I mean, like, what happens now?
So it's really confusing.
Very confusing, but
even for people in the industry.
Well, break it down for me as simple as possible. I'm kind of an idiot.
No, you are not an idiot at all. But okay, for me, it's hard to explain. So Basically, Dot was a co-venture between Universal New York and Big Machine. So,
which means they both owned it.
They both owned it.
Right.
And so, UMG helped fund.
Yes.
It.
But yeah. in New York. So like yeah. Ariana Grande, pop. Drake, like all of them.
We'll say yeah. New York for pop.
Pop. Yes.
Okay, right.
Correct.
So when Dot folded, since UMG funded it, mm-hmm. they had first right of refusal. So basically they said, okay, UMG New York, are there any artists on this roster that you want? And if you don't want them, then we'll put them on other Big Machine. Or like if you just don't feel like it's a fit, mm-hmm. we'll move them to other Big Machine imprints. But
you get the first option.
Yeah. So we were the only ones that moved. So at the time we were thinking like, oh my gosh, this is like, why are we the only ones? But like hindsight, it's like, wait, UMG yeah. New York is huge. And we have like really good buddies over there. Monty and Avery are mm-hmm. awesome. But so basically Universal New York was like, look, we're in New York. We can't work these girls from here. I mean, I'm sure they could, but...
it's pop. It's... Yeah.
Yeah. And so UMG Nashville was like, well, hey, let's figure something out so we can both kind of work together. So...
So we knew we were UMG for a while, but it was deciding which imprint. So was it going to be MCA? Was it going to be Mercury? Was it going to be...
Which under UMG, there are different little...
Yes.
There are different little... Limbs.
Just like... Yeah, I guess like different companies.
Like the National Correct. League would have... The Cubs and the Braves.
Like, yes.
Like Sam Hunt is under UMG MCA.
And we are UMG Mercury.
Okay, so they had rights to you. So they took you. That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we felt wanted. It was nice. Yeah.
So you go and you go. So where does it start? Do you start making music? Do you start writing songs? Do they say go write and then bring back what you have? Like what's the first conversation?
First things first was deciding, because we had started to cut a record end of 2016, December of 2016.
With Big Machine.
So first things first was deciding, do we want to keep that music or do we want to scrap it and completely go a different direction for the second record?
If you kept it, did you have to pay for it or give them points on it?
No.
Or was it all yours?
It was ours because we're Big Machine Publishing.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't want to piss us off because they're still making money off of our songs through Big Machine Publishing because we're really tight with everyone there. So
you could have used the songs.
We could have. Yes. But at that moment, deciding whether we wanted to use them was more or less, is this still where we're at in our lives? Or is this what we're still going to write about? Or are we past that now? Is it time to be mature women? And so we just came to the decision with Stephanie Wright at UMG. She's the A&R over there. And she kind of, so A&R is a position where they help you decide what songs you want on a record and what producer would be great to cut those songs for you and all that kind of stuff. So we sat down with her and that was just kind of how everything got rolling. She said, all right, you guys dig in and write whatever you want to write and we'll reconvene whenever you feel like it's time to. And we were like, really?
Yeah.
We can go make a record that we want to make? And she said, yeah. So we did.
Did you feel rushed to write songs, to get good songs because you wanted to get back on the scene or
no, because we had already had like the album that we have now, we probably wrote half of those songs when we were still at Dot. Like there's some, you know, songs that we wrote years ago, maybe just a year ago. But most of the record was written through that really, really rough time of like that in between thing.
Yeah.
But we sat down with maybe like 36 songs and had to like we love this song but had to cross it off, and like it just turned into this like concept record where it kind of starts with the friends don't, like, you know, who's going to make the move. And then it goes into this in love phase. And then it goes into the heartbreak phase. And then the end of the record is this like really like powerful redemptive thing where there's like four songs back to back all about like just feeling yourself again and getting your power back and getting back on your feet. And so when we sat there and talked about it, we were like, well, that's kind of what we've been through the past couple of years. So even though it is through the eyes of a relationship, we're telling our truth on this record more than ever.
Yeah.
Let me play some of this song. Here's the Friends Don't.
Yeah. Friends don't call.
So, is this the first track on the new record?
Yes.
So is that part of the strategy in putting it out first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's the beginning of the record, the beginning of the story,
we're thinking
the first song.
It would be really cool to release singles.
God bless you.
But if we released our singles kind of in the same sequence as the story, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to be the case, but yeah, obviously we're artsy-fartsy thinking it would be cool.
Yeah, our label head Damon is leaning towards that too, because he loves the story and loves the like art that is behind the record. It's not just like, hey, let's pick some songs and put it on an album. It was like, wait, no, this is a whole story from top to bottom.
So when is this hypothetical record coming out?
I know. It is a hypothetical record, right?
You have to time it.
First quarter.
Are you timing it kind of with the song? Is that what the thing is now? Like,
well, yeah. Yes. We would love to obviously create traction with Friends Don't and make sure that it's, you know, impacting the way we would like for it to, then to release a record so people are wanting to listen to it.
Yeah. Theoretically, end of this year, early next year, just depending on.
Are we July? Okay, that's not terribly far.
To us, it feels like forever.
Because we cut this record in January.
Yeah. So
it'll be a year.
When it comes out, like, it is going to be the most rewarding. And if it, I mean, I believe that this is going to be a game-changing record for us. But even if it's not, just the accomplishment of putting out another record after all we've been through, I'm happy. Just that and everything else is icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I believe you.
I mean, I want all of the great things. I want people to connect with. My dream is that people can hear their own stories. Like, we get really nitty gritty. Maybe we can play you a couple songs off the record.
I won't listen to songs. I don't listen to songs.
You don't?
Never. No.
Really?
I don't listen to anybody's new songs ever before. Because
you want to be surprised?
This is what happens. If I open that door up for one person, I have to open it up for everybody.
That's true.
I forget that that's part of your job.
And
it's not fun.
Friends that are artists. And so even someone like Dirks, I'm like, dude,
I can't.
Don't. Yeah. Because I don't do it for anybody. And Dirks is like my dude.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So, I don't do it for anyone ever. And it's weird because, you know, I like music.
Yeah. You don't want to be unfair. Like we were talking about earlier, you want to give everyone a...
Yeah.
I just want to be bothered all the time to listen to music.
Oh, yeah, because
I'd be like, hey, listen to the song, then I gotta have to do the fake head thing where I'm like, ooh, I'm really
feeling
it.
And you live in Nashville.
Hey, I appreciate that, though. You want to give an honest response when someone lets you listen to their song. You don't want to just say, oh, I like it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like... And you know what happens sometimes? I'll get a text message from someone, and I go, hey, buddy. I don't know the number.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, buddy... I'm like, yeah, I want you to hear my new single. Check it out. And I'm like, I don't even know who this is.
You're calling me buddies.
And then you have to go back and scroll and try to figure out who it is through context clues.
I think if I were you, I would feel like, because most of the time when people do that, it's probably because they're working an angle.
Always. All the time. Yeah. I don't trust anyone ever. In this business.
And I wouldn't either.
That's
nobody.
Sticky.
Everybody
That's
wants
sticky.
Me for something.
Yeah. So when people just genuinely like want you to just hear a song, you can't tell if it's genuine or if it's, hey, we want to work an angle and see, you know what I mean? Like,
so the only way I can be genuine is just say,
not doing it.
I can't do it. Like the most genuine thing I can do is be consistent with everyone.
I totally get that.
So I say no. So my point is, nah, I'm not gonna listen to your songs.
That's okay. You know what? It's fine.
That's okay. Hey.
I believe they're good though. You guys are really good. Like you guys are really good.
Thank you.
I often, you know, everybody's really good at, in this town, you have to be exceptional to be good.
Especially as a chick. If you're not exceptional as a girl,
you're
not going to work out.
You have to be exceptional with some sort of specificity. You can't just be great. You have to be great and also have some crazy angle about you as a female, which is totally unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got a bunch of D-bag guys that are exactly the same, that are good, but they have this the same
I'm glad
thing.
You said it.
No, but that's what I said.
I'm just kidding.
I'm so over it.
I feel you. The thing is, we have so many friends that we root for and love, and then there's just, I don't know. I mean, everyone has their own opinion, and it's like, what do they say? Like, opinions are like armpits. Everyone has two of them, and no one wants.
Oh, I was going to.
What's the phrase?
Buttholes.
Everyone has one, and
they all stink.
Yeah. Oh, there. That's what it is. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe the end of the year, the record comes out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what we're hoping. Yes.
I'm excited for it to come out, because this whole thing is going to make sense. When everyone hears the music and hears the story, it's like, oh, that's what they were talking about a year ago, 6 months ago, blah, blah, blah. Like,
and then we've got music video coming out, and then maybe a tour that we can't really talk about yet.
I know about it. No, I'm not going to. But oddly, we have a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have the same management.
Yeah.
We have the same.
Well, we're family.
Because someone from your team that is also on our team was
came to my house, and I was. Are you know what you're talking about? No, here a minute ago. And I was like, oh, why are you here?
Oh, no. Not wait. Kirsten.
What are you talking about?
Just someone, like, really pulled some weight in.
For what?
For this. For
why did you whisper off mic? You can say whatever you want.
I know, but okay, I don't know.
But I don't understand what you're saying. So don't say who it is. But what happened? Who pulled what weight for what?
Well, he's just awesome. Like, he just...
Did he say something to me?
No.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, we have really good...
We share
great people that work their bahonkies off.
That, my manager?
Yes.
Corin? Yes. Has,
who's your day-to-day?
Mary Forrest.
Oh, that's right. Mary. I love her. Yeah, she's great.
And so, he's why I'm on Idol.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I know.
Because he has Luke. And he has,
he's so cute.
And he has Lionel. And so... Oh, my God. All the stuff works. It's just, my whole career is just finding... really good people. I'm really Amen. Not that good at anything, but I'm great at finding people that are great at things.
That's yes.
I feel the same way.
Yes.
You guys are great. You're great artists and singers.
Well, thank you.
But your team has
to. You can't go far without people that know what they're doing.
Yep.
And that's why we, like you said, you hire people that you trust and that you feel like can accomplish those goals that you have for yourself. And I mean, we don't know like half of the industry stuff, like all the,
you really got to lean on your team for that stuff.
Yeah. Cause they know they've been in it longer than us, obviously.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're getting married or is that still secret?
So fun fact, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but so we actually set a date for next year, next fall, but this tour that is happening that will be announced soon. So that may conflict with the wedding date. So I pulled Jonah aside and I'm like, look, babe, I love you very much, but we may have to move this wedding date.
Forward or back?
Back.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, no worries. And I was like, this is totally the person I'm so, like, I never had a doubt that this is who I'm supposed to marry. But when he was no worries, that's fine. If we have to move it a couple months, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I got a good man.
how old is he?
He is going to be 24 in October.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's a gem.
And how old is Josh?
26.
I know Josh because his dad, I was on his dad's record label.
Oh, yeah. Gordon. Isn't he the sweetest?
Uh-huh.
He's
a good dude.
Both of his parents are just so sweet.
But then aside from that, I hope I'm okay to say that your boyfriend is a great songwriter.
Thank you.
And so it was weird for me to see him as a guitar player and then as the son of the record label. But he's a great songwriter.
Thank you. He is a great songwriter. I'm very proud of him. He wrote two of the songs on our record with us. So
that's how the love affair begins.
Oh, man.
And the urban stuff. Like, I'm just.
Yes.
And it's hard for me to see your boyfriend as that because I saw him as just a guitar player and as the son of the record.
His story is crazy because when his dad decided to run Black River, he was in college playing trumpet and lacrosse.
Yeah.
That's my man.
Yeah.
Tay played trumpet.
I did. I played trumpet. So he was playing lacrosse in college and then had been songwriting like all of high school. And then, just decided to teach himself how to play guitar and then started playing guitar out on the road. And that turned to songwriting. And then songwriting turned to producing.
Yeah,
it's like, crazy because when you know someone from like a kid up, you're like, okay, you got to doubly prove because but he's really good.
And you're like the label head's kid, but he's freaking amazing. He's one of my favorite people to write with.
He was coming up here for this, and we had to cancel for some reason, didn't we? Did I get sick or something? I got sick the one time in like 10 years. I got sick. Josh was coming up.
I never get sick either.
Yeah, I mean, and if I do, I just fight through it because eventually I'll not be sick and I'll be happy I fought through it. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Eventually I'm going to feel better again. Because when you're sick, this is it. My life, this is all I can think about. But then on the other side of it, you go, oh, you do get through it.
Yeah.
So if I just want to hung in there, dude, but I got really sick.
I had the flu last year, and that sucker would not go away. It was like 3 weeks. I was down for the count.
Really?
It was bad. Like, I got vertigo from it where I just like couldn't even walk downstairs. I would just be like dizzy. It was a mess.
Was your boyfriend with you?
Yes.
And so that's gross.
Oh, and he's a germaphobe. Literally, Bobby, we go into Target, and this, like, we'll be walking down an aisle, and someone maybe, like, let's say even 20 feet away, will sneeze and we gotta go. We gotta leave. Turn around. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, dude. So me having the flu was absolutely disgusting for him.
Did he take care of you though?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Did he get
all the bodily flu? That's just, it's,
he never caught it either. Whoa. He's healthy like you guys. He never gets sick either.
Well, I say I never get sick. I just had a cold, so.
That's true. But I didn't get sick, thank God.
Yeah.
If you find someone that you can like have body fluids come out around, that's kind of the
but
thing.
In the reverse, he just had salmonella, and I had to take care of that.
So he owed you.
Uber disgusting.
Yeah, he owed you.
I've never been with anyone with salmonella.
It's basically a stomach bug, so it's like both ends holes. Of the spectrum.
And you had to be with me through a stomach bug. And
oh yeah, that was when Tay threw up on my foot.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the bug is such a gross thing. The bug, the body bug is such a gross thing.
It was awful. Ugh. It was awful.
And you don't want people to like.
And we were on the bus, which throwing up on a bus is
the
real
bathroom
bad.
On a bus. Is
I don't
awful.
Even think the toilet had a grinder.
So guys, like if you're listening to this whole debacle, imagine a tour bus toilet is maybe even smaller than an airplane toilet. So
oh right,
like maybe cut that like in half, and that's a bus toilet. And Tay is puking, and I'm trying to catch it in a bag. And then it gets on my foot, and I'm trying to run out of the bus. But, I mean, you know, hey, through thick and thin.
You can't trust somebody till you can trust somebody. That's right. What was the quote?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes the wonderful knowledge is out of me.
Let's do a playback. No, just kidding.
Well. Well, listen, we've been doing this for an hour.
This is so fun.
I know.
Is it?
I love podcasting. It's so fun. And I like talking about the deep stuff. I like your podcast because I feel like you don't do like the surface stuff. Like
I do my surface. I mean, I do what I think. I don't, this is honest to God, I don't go, what can I talk about that's so second? I'm lucky enough to still be the consumer, but also be in the business enough
to know
the questions to ask that maybe people don't even know they want to know about.
Yeah.
Because when I explore and go, oh, that I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know inner ears till my freaking band started playing stages big enough to need inner ears.
Exactly.
I didn't know, you know, so.
I have a question for you, though, before we go on.
Go ahead.
Have you taken the Enneagram test?
Every person that comes and asks me about that, I know I haven't.
Okay, what about your Myers-Briggs?
My what?
Myers-Briggs.
He's like, what?
No,
that's what
did
I said
I lose you?
I was just curious because Tay and I are obsessed with this Enneagram thing. It's a personality test. It's kind of like taboo.
Dave Haywood told me I was a 12, whatever that means.
No, there is no 12.
Okay, then Dave Haywood lied. Right?
He's a lie.
Dave
lied.
We like to have fun and kind of guess people's Enneagrams.
I know.
So.
Okay,
so
I'll get the book.
No, all you have to do is go online and we'll send you the link to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And
37 questions.
I'm going to put my prediction.
Okay, go ahead.
I think maybe a 1 or an 8.
Wait, why do you think, but what are you assigning this to? What personality
trait? I think
you're
a 3.
Okay, well, I don't know what this means.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Personality.
Okay.
I think you're a pizza. No, I think you're a goblin.
So when she said she thinks you're a 1, that means
it's a reformer, where it's like you're always wanting to like.
Or perfectionist.
Like you're always wanting to like change things for the better and like adjust. Like you're never like too comfortable and you're always trying to like. Challenge
a
in a good way.
And
yes.
I'm a 9, so I'm technically called the peacemaker, a.k.a. the harmonizer.
Okay, I'm not the peacemaker or the harmonizer.
No, and I'm not either. I'm a 2, which is the helper. So it's like, my personality is like you're always trying to like help people or figure out like what you can do. Like, it's just like whatever.
Yeah.
But the quiz is so interesting because I feel like if you took it, you'd be like, wait, what
okay.
the heck?
I think you're
I'll
a 3,
what,
which
I
is
will
the performer.
Take it.
Okay, take it.
If somebody texts me the thing and
we'll
I'll
text it to
and
you.
I'll text you back. So what is your bet, Maddie?
Okay.
Pick
you
one
said
number.
A 3.
I think you're
one.
A 3 performer.
Yeah, 3
you
is like
you can be split down the middle.
3 is like the achiever, the performer, like always wanting others to win and wanting to win, like it's they're all great things, but I don't know. Like,
how's it not a bad thing? Some people are bad.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely bad.
There's flaws that are listed whenever
okay,
you take
a
quiz.
Of those.
You hush.
No, we all do.
No. No, but my flaws, I was like, oh, man, this is so true. I can't even deny it. Okay, this is what we'll do is we'll group text this link.
Tay, you say 3.
I say 3.
Maddie,
I'm going to say a 1.
Okay.
And then you let us know and reveal. And then to your listeners, you can let them know. Maybe everyone can put their bets in and see.
I don't think anyone else knows what that is.
Well, y'all are sleeping, and you need to get on this Enneagram thing.
Isn't that the thing that I thought it was a book.
It's
not a book.
There is a book. It is a book. It's called The Road to Better... I don't know.
Matt Carney was talking to me about that, too. Do you know Matt Carney?
Yes, I love him.
Do you know him?
No, but...
I'm a huge fan, and so I geeked out when I'm a big Matt Carney. I get to geek out. I still geek out at things that are like artsy love.
Yes, like people that you've been listening to for years and years and years. We saw him at Live on the Green, like when I first moved to Nashville.
Oh my gosh, we did. Do you remember that? Forever ago. Yeah. That was like 5 years ago.
And he was amazing. I remember the mix was perfect. The lighting was great. It was just magical.
Yeah, he was a good dude. We hung out and talked. There are a few of these where another one was Brandon, who I'm friends with now, Brandon Lancaster from Lanco.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where you spend time with him and you go, oh, you're just a different kind of person. Like, he's so artsy.
Yeah.
When someone goes, yeah, my biggest inspiration is Ryan Adams, you're like, oh, you're way artsy.
Yeah.
Like, and someone needs to watch you, make sure you're okay, but you're way, like, that's
I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. That is awesome.
All right. We're going to wrap this up, but I think we learned a lot here today. I know I learned a lot today.
Enneagrams? Ooh.
Yeah,
it's going down.
I'm going to do it.
We're going to do the big announcement. What is Bobby's Enneagram? Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, 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 bum. All right. Episode 135. Mike, do you anything you want to say?
I'm good.
You're good over there?
Yeah.
All right. Maddie, Tay, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
We've done over an hour. How long is this, Mike?
I'm sorry.
110.
Thank you for letting us in your beautiful home.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll not talk about that, so we will move away from this. I'm kidding, I don't care. I have a whole issue with having a swimming pool. Like, I feel terribly guilty about it. Terribly guilty.
I want to talk to you about that off the record.
Off the record?
Like,
or off the air?
I feel like... same thing. You're like one of my friends where you grew up with...
super poor, and I feel terribly guilty about
and
having
And you should
things.
Not at all.
I know I shouldn't, but that's how I feel. What's my Enneagram? 69?
It's tangible proof that you are successful and good at what you do, okay. So you should be proud.
You deserve what you have earned.
My point is I feel uncomfortable when someone says, hey, I like your shoes. Because I'm like, oh, no, don't be sorry.
We got to untangle that web. We got to get in that soul and untangle it.
I'm going to on-site for like 4 days.
I want to try
Tell
that.
Tell me how that
weekend.
Is.
I know.
Freaking
I'm going to try
bad.
To untangle some stuff. I'm going, speaking to Dave Haywood.
Let me know. Will you please let us know? Because I feel like I could
I'll reply back to the text thread. Be like, all right.
Are we just going to group text soul searching things all the time?
Non-stop therapy. Episode 135, Maddie and Tay. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank
and
you.
We'll see everybody next time. Bye-bye, everybody.